Hey, Kurt, this is Richard Wilson from Mad Shelley Films, and we have a message for you.
This is Mad Shelley Films, and you're listening to Inspirado Projecto Radio.
And then you're simultaneously on Inspirado Projecto podcast. Oh yeah, you can do a U-turn. It is legal there. And then I wonder if I can get Waze and this going at the same time. Oh no, that's a different one.
I am here in the Altima with Kurt Clendenin, also known as Stony Shores, keyboard extraordinaire, but also the main dude and honcho for Inspirado Projecto.
That's right.
And I'm just going to let tape fly because I've been listening back to my podcast. And I'm just like, Craig, just talk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, or just
people just like to know what's going
vibe.
On.
Because I'm totally stealing your vibe. Like,
it's fun.
I listen to your podcast and you're just like, oh, I'm here at the Starbucks.
That's right. That's right.
And every Uber drive you have is fascinating.
Oh, my God.
Every Uber drive.
It's so cool how many different Uber drivers I come across who have such amazing talents. Did you hear there's a guy who made cakes for Mr. T? He made cakes, like extraordinary cakes. There was a guy that I just talked to who came out from Egypt. He said he only lived three miles away from it or something.
Yes, I heard an Egypt guy.
And then there's another guy that I met, this Russian guy who's a jazz singer extraordinaire in Russia, but he comes over here and due to, you know how things don't translate over. I mean, you could have a master's degree out there as a doctor, but then somehow that doesn't translate to out here, so then you got guys driving for Uber. It was one of those kinds of things. So I always like to learn what kind of other things they have outside of the Uber, because sometimes I hear stories where they just feel like they're stuck in a hamster wheel, and it's so cool.
Well, you are so good at that, at bringing people out. Terms of what they've got inside them, you know, because it could just be a normal Uber drive, but by the end of it, it's like, I want to, I'm in tears.
Oh my God, thank you. I'm in tears.
I've heard a couple where I'm just like, oh my God. I mean, the last guy was talking about, I think, you were talking about ancient electricity and the pyramids. And,
oh yes,
and
oh yes.
Was that the Egyptian guy?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's
just like, what?
Oh my God!
It's an Uber drive, but you guys are like—it's
so fun because they're probably not used to hearing people asking them questions.
Right, right, right.
People just playing Candy Crush or whatever.
Right, right. It's just
yeah.
I like fudge.
Right.
I like fudge.
Yeah. So tell me more about yourself.
I like fudge.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
I like fudge. Tell me more about fudge. What? Really, really?
I like fudge. 300 feet.
It's fun because. These people, ideally, the intention is that by me kind of like, it's like shocking them, you know, oh, I see. Okay. So we got to turn here. Wait. Oh yeah. Here. Yeah. If you can do it. I had the volume off so it wouldn't, intrude on our cosmic conversation. We're going to zippity-doo around here.
So you have the cool mic. You've upgraded your microphone.
This, okay, so what's interesting, so I had the, I think we're supposed to turn there, but hold on, let's see.
Do I get on the 101?
I'm sure this will tell us something.
I'm getting on the 101?
500 feet, turn right. Bill Flower. Turn right. Oh, here. Right on, I guess we're not getting on the 101. I think it wants to take us to 134. Let's see what this says now. let's see what this says.
I've done this 100 times, but now I'm listening to the computer. And I'm
So up, okay, so take a right at the not the next street, but within a couple of streets.
Gotta love computers. Just make everything so simple.
Oh, yeah, the light. Yeah, right at the light.
Right at this light coming up.
Yeah, that one. Okay. Isn't that great? There's this computer brain that figures how to route you. It knows what to do. It's so crazy. It's like, you know, no more do you have to, you know, clinch up, squinch up, and like, when you know that this thing goes, no big deal. Yeah, I just turn it right to the next one. Here you go. Here's another one.
I should know this. You know what I mean? I've been driving these streets for years and years. I should know exactly where the 134
Well, it's funny.
Goes. I have no idea.
Because I remember when I first moved out here and I had the Thomas Guide. I was like, oh, you know, I clinched up. I'm like, oh, my God, I passed the thing. You know, and then it's right. And I didn't. And I get to something that wasn't a part of the plan that was in my brain. Like I'm gone!
Jesus.
It was a scary, terrifying thing, you know? And then and you really can't drive too much anymore because then you're all it's like you turn into a Nautilus and curl up on the floor. So I had the iPhone 5S, and this is the same microphone that I used to use. The thing is, no. We're going to go up here.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. Now I know where I am.
And then we're going to turn right after we get under the... Under this.
What were you saying?
Holy cow. This is so crazy. Everywhere I look, it looks like something completely different than what I remember seeing before. Yeah, no,
they're changing everything, too. So this is all new construction.
Holy cow.
This is janky bubbly.
I can't. It's a tricky business because turn right here. Yeah, because you could pass by like what used to be a house, like a really cool house, had some neat bushes in front or something. Next thing you know, they're building up a whole nother apartment complex.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of that. We're seeing all over the valley. I guess the city too, but holy crap, they're really maximizing. And I don't know if that's good or bad, Kurt. Some parts of the city you don't want overpopulated. Other parts, I guess you need new housing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you would hope that it's all affordable, but I don't know. I doubt it.
Sheesh. It is tricky to, you know, I can imagine they have to try to buy a house out here, raise a family with a...
Well, I got born into it, so I, you know, I live in the house...
Oh, that's right. You grew up out here.
I live in the house that I grew up in, that I was born in. She gave birth right there on the carpet. You still have the birth stains.
And the umbilical cord.
Kept the carpet. I said that carpet stays.
That's right.
That's a little bit of me on that carpet every day.
And it belongs in the museum.
The Spivak Museum gets that slice of carpet with my afterbirth on it. God damn it.
The Spivak Museum.
All right, don't fucking donate a dime to nothing.
What else would go in the Spivak Museum? Your books, of course. They'd have to go in there.
That's the only place they're going
to
go.
How many books have you written and or will continue to write?
Well, two. Well, I got two out, but I've written four or five. The first one, I was so stoned. You might like this part. I was so stoned, Kurt. I was so high.
How stoned were you?
No shit. I was so fucking stoned all the time. I was like 22.
She must have had tons of ideas.
Oh my god, yeah. I was like 22, 23. This big main idea hit me about short stories or whatever. Combined them all. And I was like, fuck it all. I'm a fucking writer, man. You know, and I went to this coffee house and I wrote the whole thing out in pencil. So I wrote short story after short story after short. I wrote like probably 30 short stories total. And they looped together, and some of them made sense, some of them didn't, some of them really worked out well. But it was all handwritten. And then at a certain point when I was done, I was like, the voice in your head, you know, the editor, like the other guy,
mm-hmm.
he goes, all right, now type it up.
Wow.
Because you have to copy it. You can't fucking really. What am I going to do, hand this to people?
Yeah.
You know, that voice just sort of...
Oh, yeah, go ahead, get this left lane.
Yelled at me, and I was like,
so
fuck!
You typed it, and
no,
then...
I didn't.
Oh, you did not type it.
That's
still
my
have
point.
It? Do you still
have it
right
in
now?
A drawer. Yeah, I have it in a drawer, most of it. Some of it I removed, and I made it supplemental stories for Devil Country.
So, past this... Yeah.
This is so bad.
And then, so Devil Country, when did that come out?
Devil Country came out...
left on that. When these guys were...
I could have done this. I could have done this. Devil Country started in stages. I wrote the first big draft of that when I was working pizza in Beverly Hills. And I was living right around here in Valley Village. And I wrote the first, I guess, short story that was called Devil Country there in North Hollywood. And it was pretty much there, all of it. And then from there... I tried to turn it into a screenplay, and that didn't work out so well.
Was that your first screenplay you wrote?
Yeah, it was like my first,
well,
you know, first or second. I wrote it.
When you have no, you know, when you're an explorer, sometimes you just don't know what direction you're going in until you've carved a little bit of a path.
And by the end of it, it's like, where did space aliens come from?
Well, you must have felt so proud of yourself for tackling something you've never done before? A lot of people have never written a screenplay. I've never written a screenplay.
Maybe I bypassed that part of it or something. I'm so screwed up on other things, I guess, or I'm thinking in terms of, well, it's not done, and why can't you get it done, and all that stuff. And I actually co-wrote that with a friend, Sherry, and she was a doll. She was very sweet to me, and she's like, no, this should be a movie, and I was like, all right. She mainly coached me through it and as best as possible.
Uh-huh.
And then I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't have any contacts or anything, so it just kind of sat. And I made the mistake of letting my mother read it.
Oh. Did she critique it?
She was, well, it was some moments and it weren't too flattering.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Just because it was about a guy who was living at home and he was an adult.
Oh, boy.
And his mom was pissed off.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah, it didn't go over well.
Wow.
That was a bad moment.
Wow. That in itself is a movie. When, you know, it's like someone reading someone's diaries, so to speak. Because then they're like, whoa, here's your mind on this page.
It was relevant because I finally realized, writing can affect people. What you say and what you put down, it's kind of like, it's on the record, kid. You know?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Whether you want it to be or not, here it is. And if someone's offended by it, you're either going to have to defend that choice or apologize, depending. Now, most people are like, oh, fuck it, I just write to write. But I think that's kind of bullshit, too. I think that people have written things and they regret it, or they've said things that they regret it, and it hurt, and it cost them friendships, it cost them love, and all that stuff. So I'm definitely sensitive to that. To this day, I'm still kind of freaked out in terms of, oh, if I'm writing or saying something, even like with stand-up, am I saying something that's like offensive to someone? Is it going to blow back on me? Are they going to be hurt? Just mainly hurt. If they deserve to be hurt, then okay. But you don't want to hurt friends and stuff, you know?
Right, yeah.
I'm okay with it. I struggle with it. Yeah,
remember there was a class, I went to Columbia College, they had a class, it was about creative writing, but it was to end all censorship in your writing whatsoever.
Right.
So you really open the floodgates and you really feel so safe that you write things that you would surprise yourself in saying.
Absolutely.
You know, whether it be serial killer type stuff or whether it be, you know, Hallmark movie type stuff or what have you, it's like to really take the governor off, to really take off the authority. Enable to do that, what's so crazy is what you gain in that is you really start getting closer to realizing that you are yourself the authority of your chosen reality.
Absolutely.
And you know, and then it really gets you closer to really feeling that intuition and standing by your decisions and your intuitions and really going, wow, you know, I'm leading with my heart here, or this is the direction that is calling to me at this moment. And I know what you mean about you know, maybe worrying about offending someone or hurting someone's feelings. What's crazy is it's a tricky thing, because if we have that awareness back there, then there's a diluted kind of message, I suppose. There's kind of a diluted message that's coming through, and there's also that idea of, you know, the judges back there, which, like, my buddy, I remember he told me, it was in elementary school, they had an assignment to draw. It was an art class. And the teacher held up his art in front of the class, and she goes, this is what you don't do. See he did wrong here, and what he did wrong there, and what he did wrong here. And that scarred him. This man is a great artist, and yet he still can't allow himself to paint beyond anything that's like shapes and splatters, you know? It's because that damn teacher is still, barking at him. And so, you know, that could really shape a lot of times what decisions we're making. And then the other interesting, crazy thing is when someone is off-ended about something, they're imbalanced about a particular thing. There's a wrinkle that needs to be ironed out. They're off-ended. They're not balanced. So what's interesting is a lot of times we hear about the things that, you know, we're screaming at the loudest or the things that offend us the most are actually the pieces of ourselves that we recognize in ourselves within that maybe a piece of ourselves that we don't want to see right then and there.
Right.
And so we scream at, I hate that thing, but really it's like, ugh, I don't like that thing in myself and I need to iron that wrinkle out. Because once that, you know, the idea is that once that spell is, you know, once that's ironed out, no longer is that an offensive thing. The offense comes from the choice in defining that thing as that thing. So this tree, for instance, that's just a tree to me. Maybe in another culture, they're like, get me at least 200 feet away from that thing. That's very poisonous to my people. You know, they have a different definition of what that tree is. To me, that's just a green thing that's just out there. And so, you know, there's that idea that nothing really truly has that built-in meaning. It's whatever meaning we're giving it,
sure.
Which goes back to that wonderful phrase, which is so simple and so true, is, you know, life is what you make it, or the meaning of life is what you make it. And so it's tricky when we take all these kinds of considerations into the art that we're creating, whether it's the comedy, whether it's the music. I'd like to believe that the more that I follow whatever that intuition is that's telling me, and especially when I know that it's coming from a good place, like I like to center my intentions on the collaboration aspects, the right. cooperation, and bringing out the good vibes. And so I like to believe that those ingredients will be infused into whatever I'm doing. So then, in a sense, I can let the critics go because I know I'm riding on that magic carpet, so to speak.
Right.
I guess it all depends on what reservoir we're drinking our nutrition from, I suppose. You know, what's jangling around back there through every moment? And then what of those pieces are we going to choose to showcase, either for ourselves to hear out loud or in front of others? You know, and sometimes that's an interesting thing, too, is that I notice that, like, a lot of times, especially on this podcast, I'll notice that I'm repeating a hell of a lot of the similar ideas.
Yeah, you have themes.
You know, and it's always the same thing, and it's like, you know, am I repeating this out loud because I need to remind myself? Yeah, I think that's the biggest part of it, is that I need to repeat that outside to go, hey, remember this. Remember this, dude. You know, keep this in mind.
Just a reminder.
Yeah. Just a reminder, and to anyone else who may or may not be listening, it's interesting because I think, like, the more I think the breaking of the spell is, the more that we really appreciate our own company and entertain ourselves. If we are our biggest entertainment and our biggest fan, and not in the sense of ego, but in the sense of like, holy cow, I can't believe I just heard that thing come out of my mouth. I totally, that was totally channeled right there. You know those times when
absolutely.
You're doing comedy and stuff, and you're going, what? And you surprise yourself.
That's
and you
what
go,
I live for. Okay.
Right, because you get your out of your way of yourself, right?
That's right.
That's where that magic is. Get out of the way. And so then that becomes now this crazy oxymoron of going, oh gosh, do I want to offend anybody or do I not? And then at the same token, we go, gosh, I want to be in that meditative state. I want to be in that state where it's just coming to me and surprising me. Man, there are those times where I'm sure you've come off stage and you go, what the hell did I just say?
What the hell just happened? Yeah.
you wake back up and you go, I don't think I remember any of that performance.
Yeah. There's been a lot of times where I'm like, what happened? What did I say? Play the tape back or something of that nature. Yeah.
Do you
have,
okay, so for your, do you have a series of different methods? Do you rely on a particular method? Do you know, have, in a sense, sort of like a little ceremony or a little ritual that you kind of have in your brain or something you imagine while you're making your comedy, in the process of it, or while you're on stage or even afterwards? Any of those stages?
You know, I'd like to think I have a process or some method, but I'm just a mess. And it's different every time. And I know, like, basics of I need to eat well before the show or before an open mic, or an exercise, because my brain will be cloudy, as I call it. You know, if I don't exercise proper, it's whatever wants to come out is not going to come out. And I found that all you can really do is sort of prepare all the ingredients, but I can't make the meal until I'm on stage.
Ah, you know? Yeah, right.
I don't know how to say that.
And right, right.
And a lot of, sometimes it's like, oh, this is going to taste horrible.
And it's an experiment, too. That's a fun thing.
And
it's like,
a lot of people, they have a real method, you know, they'll sit there and they'll write that joke write it out like a Seinfeld. He'll write it out or come up with it word to word, and he'll put it up there and he'll say it word for word exactly, and then he'll tweet from there. And it's very structured, and I just have tried to follow that, and I just can't.
Do you think that the people who, you know, a lot of times what equates with, I guess when we think of the word failure or something, a lot of times we equate, okay, well, I worked so hard on this, therefore it equals this amount of laughter, or therefore it equals this amount of praise, or this amount of this. You know, in other words, there's that certain idea, which is why I think people get grumpy when things don't go their way, because they got a plan in their brain, and if it's not going that way and they're trying to force it to go into that plan, it's like that idea, like, if it, you know, I've got my heart set on this thing, if that doesn't happen, then the end product is me being upset. Then, you know, then I'm really going to throw a tantrum if it doesn't go my way. So, already setting up that thing.
They put a lot of stakes on it.
A lot of stakes on it. So, do you feel that by being more playful with it, and a little less, you know, restrictive on it, I guess, do you feel that after a show, it's a lot easier for you to just kind of not expect a specific outcome?
Well, I have to go in.
Yeah, I think we're going to exit soon.
I have to go into the experience detached from the outcome.
Right.
As much as possible.
Yeah.
If that's possible, then yes. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm not saying I accomplished that every time.
I love it.
But, you know, I think there's a lot of guys out there, a lot of people out there who set an agenda, and if it doesn't hit exactly the way they need it to, then they're just in a bad place.
Well, heck, you know, that's where the true test of it is in front of the audience. Like, I mean, gosh, how many times have we, you know, either been part of the movie making process or had friends who were making movies, and they get certain laughs in certain areas that they did not expect, or that they didn't get laughs in certain parts that they did expect, or that the audience wasn't grossed enough out by this, you know, this bad thing that happened, or weren't, you know, shocked enough this other particular thing.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of times it really just has to do with the vibe of the room at that particular night, that particular time. That's the funny thing. You don't know if half the audience, maybe half of them didn't eat. They're feeling grumpy. Maybe that specific night, everyone has full bellies. Everyone, you know, is jovial. They've been all had a few cocktails in and whatnot. So it's interesting how those kind of certain mindsets or consciousness come together.
It can all affect the outcome in the whole. It's strange to think, though, you know, the audience plays its part.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, I think particularly with stand-ups, they have a big problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think at the heart and soul of a stand-up is a control freak. And I'd like to think I'm a control freak, but I'm really not. I'm really someone who's just out there trying to surf a wave. Mm-hmm. To a certain degree.
Ooh, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
That's a great way of putting it.
I see that audience kind of as, it's this ocean, and I kind of have an idea of it. I know what an ocean can do. I also know that an ocean can kill me.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to respect it.
Oh, yeah, get this.
And hopefully the waves will be good, and I don't know, I'm not a surfer.
Well, I think it's great because, you know, that's one of the things
that
Andy Kaufman has been said that he would just read the audience, that his performance is based on kind of how the audience was going. He was really good at tuning them in and, you know, getting them to play along with things and seeing the direction it was going on and then surfing on it. Oh, yeah, so sorry. You are going to be turning right here. That was an optical illusion back there. So this is going to zip under and then go, you'll see it.
Like tell us where we are now in downtown.
Oh, yeah, so
I see City Hall.
We're heading to K Chung Studios in the heart of Chinatown. And so we're going to be broadcasting today. Oh, yeah, turn right here. sorry. On 16:30 a.m. on K Chung. And I think by the time you probably hear this podcast here, at least on the Inspirato Projecto one, because remember, we're doing two. We're recording two right now. We got Craig's and we have mine. Both. This is good. This is awesome. This is like, in a sense, a simulcast. Yet, it will be released later. So by the time you hear this, you might have already heard the radio show, or you might have heard this first, and then it inspires you to go hear the radio show. So either way, it feeds off of one another. Oh yeah, stay here. Oh, that's good. All right. Oh yeah, we're gonna zip around through the back here.
This is very exciting, Kurt.
Very exciting.
Turn left on Bishop.
Extremely exciting. Oh yeah. Have you ever read any of your pieces from your book while you're on stage?
No. Not really. No one's asked. No. I read it on your stuff. That I mean, you're probably one of the best patrons of my art.
Turn right on North Broadway.
Out of anyone.
Man, I love being able to
you
have
read my last story. I did the parrot thing.
I love the parrot story. Yeah. I love the parrot story.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah. I guess I got to get that one out.
It's triumphant. That would be a great short film.
I think so. You know, what is it? Don't work with animals and kids.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Awesome. And you might need both of those for this project.
Exactly. Nice going, Craig.
If this lets you in the gates, that should. Oh yeah. Oh. I see. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm not used to seeing it from this back. Back way.
This is a whole different angle, man. I need structure.
What in the hell?
I need familiarity.
Okay, yeah, go up and then.
I think it's on the right. Do I make it right?
Yeah, I do believe so.
Turn right.
See, this is
fun. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah, zip, zip.
This is good podcasting.
It is very good podcasting. I mean, have you thought about doing comedy? Oh, yeah, and then in there. And then having.
No.
Like someone presses play on a soundtrack and it goes perfectly with what you're doing.
What do I do?
Like someone presses play on a boombox or something like. So you get there's a soundtrack playing behind you while you're talking.
I love that.
So it can be dramatic.
I
want
to do that. Can I do that with this?
Oh yeah, you know what? You'll be able to add music into the back of that. You'll be able to add music. They got all kinds of cool background. Sounds that you can put
I've heard
on the anchor, and it's so fun because all right, we might have to find some hangers. Yeah, I think you could squeeze in there.
I want to get out now.
Oh yeah.
All right,
I'm gonna go up there and start setting up because I think Nicholas is probably ready. Okay. I'm just gonna start setting up.
I don't hit stop.
Here, let's go like this.
We'll be back.
Do you have a special? There
we'll
you go.
Be back.
And then we'll just save it for there. So we'll just give it some. Here's just something to title it. Okay, Fi. Okay, that's just what. And that'll.
No,
not yet published. So that'll load. You'll see it loading, and then it'll say processing. Oh yeah, we're still recording here on this one, so you'll hear the extras. You'll be able to hear both podcasts at the same time if you press play. On both the Craig Spivak podcast, which is called CraigCast, and then you press play on Inspirato Projecto. That would be a cool thing, like to see how kid plays simultaneously. We're going up the steps right now. It's 12:54. I've got a few songs to play on this episode, more than I'm used to playing. I'm not, you know, we don't really play a lot of songs. This one, I think, is going to have about 3 songs from Phil Donlin, 1 from a girl named Tilly, 1 from Connor's band, Connor McCrory. Phil and Connor are going to be calling in. Craig Spivak just dropped me off, as you know. He's going to be the in-studio guest. He's going to have a request, or I'm going to request him the request. All right, let's see. Oh, yeah, here we go. Here we go. K. Chung Studios. The master, the myth, the legend.
Hey, how's it going?
So good to see you, man.
Good to see you, too.
Craig, it's so funny. Craig's coming up. He just podcasted us on his podcast. He just recorded us, and I recorded simultaneously, too. So, folks, this will be up on mixcloud.com/Inspirato. Projecto. Oh, no. What you're listening to now is going to be up on here, but the K-Chung episode is going to be on mixcloud.com/Inspirato Projecto. What you're about to hear is a song by Tilly called The 26th Floor. She worked with Dave Grohl on this song. Now, Tilly is friends with Connor McRory. Connor McRory called into the show today on Inspirato Projecto, K-Chung, 1630 AM from Chinatown, Los Angeles. He called up. We talked to him. I had a list of songs that I was going to play, and I cannot believe it slipped through my fingers. And I promised Tilly that I'd play it on the radio show. Well, I'll tell you what, Tilly, I will play it on the radio show. And also, I'm playing it right now here on the podcast. This episode is actually coming out faster than the episode that we had earlier today at the studio. Because when we were leaving, the studio was not connecting with the internet. So I'm going to go back there tonight, grab the file, and then upload it either tonight or tomorrow from our live K-Chung show, which features Craig Spivak, who we're talking to in the car that you just heard, Phil Donlin, his assistant Roy, as he was setting up the Dom DeLuise first annual Dom DeLuise Film Festival, and then Connor McRory called in. So it was interesting. It was an interesting combination. I don't think I've done that before. So it basically encourages me to call up more people during the show. So we truly actually do have surprise guests. Guests who have no idea that they're surprised as much as anybody else. So here we go. Tilly with 26. So with the slotted So you're saying it's a first come, first serve basis, yet in a sense, the people are making up the schedule. Do you, so let's say for instance, you go, you say, you, let's say you get there right when they open up the slot. For instance, how open do they, how often do they open a brand new slot? I mean, do they do it that same night after the, right after the open mic? And so then you can sign up right away for the next one?
No, I can sign up probably, I think it's 5 days in advance.
So,
like, I could sign up today for, what is today? Today is Monday. I could sign up, I think, all the way to Friday.
And so you could potentially go, I want a 9 o'clock slot. And as long as you were the first one to sort of be the pioneer on there, so to speak, you know, for the new slots, you get that, right?
Yeah, if I'm first. If I'm first, then it's like, oh, what's the 9 o'clock show? Is there any slots open? Yes. Okay. I'll put my name in.
Oh, okay.
And then it fills up. And you, and it's getting to the point now where you have to do like a day in advance. I can't find my...
So I'll show you. It's easier just to show you.
But I don't have my charger. Oh, I know. Oh, I know it. I see. I switched things up. Okay. Let's see what I'm doing now.
Oh.
It's all... It's all a thing now, Kurt.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just...
It's all a thing. One thing's for certain. Just, it's all a thing.
Let's go see.
Oh, wait. I should probably look at the directions here. Let's go see.
Oh, yeah. We're going to go 0.5 miles
to Academy Road.
You're taking me to the cops, Kurt.
Because we're going straight to the cops.
Why are we going to the cops?
We're going straight to the cops.
Is this? Oh! Well, this is... The police academy's right here.
Is it? It is? It's right over here?
Yeah. It's right next to Dodger Stadium.
Oh. Oh, no wonder it says Academy Road.
See, that's...
Is that where Police Academy took place?
I, you know what? Crazy. I'm guessing the thing... Oh, only you would know.
My goodness. That would be good. So, who do you think invented the whole slotting... phenomenon?
I don't know. Somebody invented the website slotted, and that's a smart part. But it was the fourth wall guy, his name's Joe Manente. He's the one who figured out to use slotted to book comics. So I'll show you.
Oh, so it was originally used for something else, like you're just saying for scheduling and stuff,
so.
And then this guy goes,
honestly,
hey, let's try it for comics.
Yeah, I don't know for sure.
That is good, because really, I mean, you don't know, otherwise you're at a you're there, and then you're hoping, you know, everyone's running towards the list.
I should record this, because I'm a responsible journalist.
Yeah.
Podcaster myself. And I can switch screens out of that, and it still records, is that right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So you'll see the way, if it's still recording, it'll be there'll be a little red thing up there. Now... When you get a phone call, see, this is what's interesting. When I podcast, I try to turn off the ringer volume, because what'll happen is, well, a text will come through. Let's see, how does it work? If the sound is on and a text comes through, I think it knocks you off, like it stops recording automatically. The good news is, it will save, as long as you hit save, it will save what you're just recording before it was interrupted. The other thing is,
a friend of mine called during it and stopped it.
Ah, yeah, there you go. That was the other thing. So the other thing is, whether the volume is up or down, no matter what, Academy, oh yeah, turn right here at Academy Road. I think we're going up this little incline and then down that way. Oh, it looks like we're going through Griffith Park, perhaps.
Yeah.
This is what we did last time, too, I think.
We got totally lost.
Oh, yes, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Or did we? Maybe we got found.
Oh, we got found. We got found right away. Then we're going to turn left, it seems, at the top of this hill. So, whether you have... Do you have your turn? Yeah. These guys. Come on now. Come on.
Right
up there. Oh! Dodger, I hardly know her.
Chavez Ravine.
So, if you get a phone call, no matter what, it'll stop your podcast. Which is, you know, it's at least it saves it. In the olden days, it didn't save it. So you'd have this, you know, 45-minute rant about tacos or something. And then all of a sudden...
My taco rant!
Cling, clong! And all of a sudden, uh-oh, there it goes. My beloved taco rant. I could have sourced so much good material from that one.
And the meaning of life is... That's what happens when a call comes in.
Yeah, it does. That's right.
Alright.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. So this is going to go funky.
If you look at my screen.
NoHo Fourth Wall Burbank.
It's slotted.
On time.
And you go.
On the hour. Oh, must be on time. Door locks on the hour. Yeah, that's good. Oh, okay. No place holding. Oh, okay.
So this is today. So if you were to stop in at the
fourth wall today. Oh, okay. Let's see here. So they.
It's easier just to show.
Look at that. Improv. Riffing and crowd work. So it says
4 p.m. is an improv mic.
Oh, so improv mic.
Show up to show it. You'd love that. I bet you I can see it.
So improv mic, you just go there and you just say whatever you want. And you don't have to have anything prepared.
It gives you a suggestion and you can roll with it.
Oh, wow. Improv mic. 4 p.m. to 4:45 p.m. It says here, you're going to be turning right, I think, soon. Yeah.
I need 5 more.
Oh, yeah, I think.
This is wrong,
Kurt.
That's not the one.
Sorry, that's not the one. It's the next one.
Screw your way.
You know, this reminds me of that that Office episode where Michael drove straight into the pond because he was like, see, GPS makes you do terrible things. I told you. And it's like the street was like maybe another 50 feet in front of him. All he had to do was turn left at it, but he turned right into the pond. It's all GPS's fault.
I follow it blindly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think so. I think, yeah, we're going up this thing. Yeah. And then this will make another loop. It's like we're tying a big shoe here. The big shoelace
really
of Los Angeles.
Giant shoelace.
Ah, there it is. Yep, another one. Tying one on, as they say.
Giant sticker shoe that is on sale.
So this says, improv mic, hone your riffing and crowd work. Suggestions will be provided by fellow comics and pulled from a hat by the host. Riff and take as many suggestions as you like. Super fun, loose format to develop vital skill.
So
improv
if you'll
mic.
Notice,
that is cool.
How many people
$5
signed up?
Oh, we got 9 people already.
So does it say any slots open?
Wow. Will it tell you if only the slots are closed?
Yeah, so it'll
say
at the bottom,
it says
it'll
it's
say one
yet.
Slot open or one zero slots open.
Oh, yeah, so no, it's
so
not
cool.
Near that
it's
then,
not.
I guess. Oh,
so
yeah,
that
yeah.
Shows you, it's like, you got there too late, you gotta get there to sign up.
Oh, yeah, I gotcha.
So all those people are now guaranteed a spot in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Perhaps in that order, maybe not. I don't know how that works.
Wow, what the heck? So that shows you all over these different locations.
Right, so this guy's got 3. Joe's got
3
locations.
These are at the wait.
So if you're
regular stage, is that another location or something?
No, that's the time. Those are all slotted by time.
Oh,
5, 6,
oh,
6,
second
7.
Stage. Oh, I
he's
so
got
there's
2
a couple
stages at one location, but he only uses usually only one.
Okay. So. $8 for 10 minutes, second stage only. $12 for 15 minutes.
Second stage is a truck.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a giant truck. It's his moving van that he converted.
And people sit inside of the truck?
Yep. It's kind of weird.
Do they walk up, like the... Yeah. They put down the little ramp?
I'm scared shitless that they'll lock us in there and then truck us.
Oh, my God. Lock and load. Everyone's locked in there. That becomes a reality show. Another unintended reality show. I thought I was going to see Craig's
Pivot. Traffic comedian.
And I opened the door and I ended up in Tijuana.
I'm not sure what happened. I was telling a dick joke and before I know it, some type of ether hit. I was out for 5 hours.
Ether.
And now I'm in Guadalajara hosting a karaoke.
Oh my God.
And what? I can't seem to leave the country and I don't have a kidney.
Yeah. And I have no... What do you do in that situation when you don't have your passport? Like those people in other places, they're on vacation, they lose their passport, they lose their identifications. What is the first thing you get? I got to ask you, what's the first thing you would get? If you're in Guadalajara, none of your stuff is with you, what do?
Laid.
Get laid, first thing, bam. Get laid.
At least I'd have that.
So first, number one, you get laid. Number two... What do you?
What is the question? I'm sorry.
Well, okay. So, for instance, you have no passport.
Right.
You got no wallet. None of that, and you're in Guadalajara.
You'd
just like the scenario.
You'd be dead within hours.
Okay. that answers my question. There's no scenario. You're just murdered.
White guy. Come here.
Come to Kuala Hara for the karaoke. Stay for the death.
You want a steak? Go down this alley.
You want a steak? Ah! I once had an idea for a... I didn't know if it was going to be a short film or just a short story called Steak and Eggs. S-T-A-K-E and Eggs. And it's about a girl who realized that her boyfriend is a vampire. Then she decides... I don't know if she's going to kill him or not. I don't know. It's all up to what the characters want. What do the characters want to do?
One of those.
Yeah. Steak. Stay for the steak. So... What's the biggest stage at the fourth floor?
The fourth wall.
Fourth wall.
He just opened his third location, which is in Hollywood and Normandy, I think.
He's at the fifth wall?
That's my joke.
Ba-da-ba.
Every time I go up, I'm like, it's good to be here at the fourth wall, not the fifth wall. Screw that third wall. Fourth wall. It's all about the goddamn fourth wall.
Forget that third wall.
Third wall, a bunch of homos.
Do you ever break the fourth wall to... I mean, I guess in a sense, you got to break the fourth wall to the audience.
Yeah, I think that's right.
That's part of the... I guess that's it. I guess, well, what would a stand-up comedian be if he didn't at all do the fourth wall thing? It could be... maybe that's the bit. You don't ever address the audience. You're not trying to play to the audience. It's just you muttering to yourself on a chair.
There's plenty of guys showing up who are already doing that.
There you go. See, now there's another idea
there's
I don't have to do.
Guys,
I don't have to do that. So I already did it.
Not breaking the fourth wall.
I love it.
An attempt at irony.
Not breaking the fourth wall.
But it's really just them being psychotic.
Ah.
There's so many psychos at open mics. And regardless of this, there's still going to be a psycho factor.
There's nothing you can do about it.
There are drawbacks to it. I feel that the best critique of it would be... You've got 12 guys in there. It's usually male-dominated. Maybe 2 to 3 girls at best. And they're all there, but they don't want to be... They don't want to have to sit through other comics. They're looking down at their
so
cell phone.
So the audience is just a bunch of comics who are waiting to...
Right. It has that reflexivity to it.
And you're always hoping that there's going to be some people who are there just to see open mics.
I wonder if that's going through their head or not. I think a lot of the mentality is, I just want to work through material.
That's
how I feel. I guess I want audience response, but...
Oh, yeah, we're going to take
I want to know how this joke feels. How's it going to land? Is it coming out smooth and all that? And
I guess
fine.
If you can make comedians laugh, then I guess you know that you're really good at it.
There's that side of it where if you make a comic laugh, you're doing all right. But also, in all honesty, if you're making comics laugh consistently, you're a pretty dark comic.
You
want to be able to cater your...
You're pretty dark comic.
Yeah, you want to be able to cater your jokes to a civilian crowd.
So...
And that's the problem.
Well, then... That's our interesting oxymoron we're here. You're at an open mic in front of all these other comics. You're trying to hone the joke, but the joke is really trying to be honed for just other people who are not comics.
Right. That's a problem.
Certainly... Have you gone to Kulak's Woodshed? I've heard that's a good place.
I've heard of that.
I heard they're very accommodating. I went to that open mic back in the day when I first moved out here. I went to a lot of open mics for just short stories really short stories, prose and music, improv music. And I'd always take suggestions from the audience and come up with a song. And it was usually to the tune of House of the Rising Sun. So I knew how the tune would go. But it was so much fun. Oh, such a blast. And I, you know.
How long have you been out here?
Jeez, I think 20 years almost. February 23rd marks the 20 year anniversary.
Where are you from?
Normally from Chicagoland area, Carroll Stream.
In L.A., where did you end up?
I first moved to Pico Rivera, and that, it's so nuts because that was right next to a town called Whittier.
Oh, sure.
And I would go to Whittier to send emails because there was a library there. And then I would send packages. This is before I had internet or YouTube. I was VHS recording, camcordering myself 5 minutes at the beginning of the day and 5 minutes at the end of the day to my girlfriend at the time. I had a long-distance relationship.
Okay.
So, and I can just only imagine how depressing it must have been. I mean, you know, that's, you know, God bless anybody who can move off to a whole other place and still have a long-distance relationship. It works for people. It worked for my buddy Andy, who I was a roommate with, who I knew back in Chicago. He was my roommate for a while out here. He had a long-distance relationship. They end up getting married. Phenomenal. Those, you know, there are those stories. There are other stories where it doesn't work, too. And it can make your life miserable if you got 1 foot in home and 1 foot in the place where you moved, and you're like, okay, where do I really live? And it was crazy. I was working up a storm at Barnes Noble Encino, and all my money went towards basically rent and plane tickets back home, because I try to get home once a month, and I'd stay off there 10 days, and it was just like, oh my God. It was a crazy, crazy time. But I lived out in Pico Rivera, and little did I realize is that, you know, here I was going to Whittier, little did I realize that my buddy, well, who came to become a friend of mine, John Garside, was living in close to Whittier at the time, and he was writing at that time the Max Neptune script about this superhero who lives in the future of Whittier. And it's funny because years later I end up auditioning for him and getting the part of Max Neptune. So it's so interesting, his little intricacies that you never know how it's going to loop back around later on in life. And then we ended up having the premiere out there in Whittier at this old theater. Oh, I think it was called the Starlight. Interesting. This old theater, and one of their hometown favorites, this crazy guy named Doobie McDonald, he shook our hands up on stage. It was crazy. I don't know how he even found out we had our premiere that night, but somehow someone let him in. He snuck in. They must have been a fan of his over there. He came in, and we had these crazy blinky glasses, shook our hands, and then he left. He gave us a kazoo. I mean, it's crazy when you think about... Oh, and we had our mannequin there of Max Neptune. We put the costume on him and everything. And, man, it's so interesting, because the other crazy thing is Pico Rivera. So Pico is named after Pico. Pio Pico. Pio Pico is one of the guys who helped bring together this whole California area, the Battle of Providencia. Pio Pico was a part of this. Well, what's interesting is John Garside ended up making a whole series of short films, documentaries called Forgotten Tales, which took place throughout Whittier. And one of those was the Battle of Providencia, where I played a man named William Workman and Pio Pico. So it's so crazy. So when I first moved out here, I was in Pico Rivera, named after Pio Pico. Later on, I was in a movie that had to do with Pio Pico. I mean, it's just so crazy when you look at all the ways in which, we're going to exit here. When you see how things in your life, and if you can't make this one, no worries, we can get the next exit. I just love how you can see how stuff loops back around in your life.
Oh, yeah.
And it's such a joy, because when I keep playing with those ideas, turn right here. I keep playing with those ideas. What that enforces and excites and encourages me to do is to continue dreaming big without the expectation of how exactly it's going to happen or when exactly it's going to happen. Just with that trust that the higher mind is going to fill in those blanks and bring it back around in some way or another. Now, I have to do my part. Well, I should say it helps if I do my part in noticing those synchronicities, noticing those signs, noticing those omens when they're there, and going, I see this, and then moving in those directions. Those, to me, are the signs that my higher mind is going, okay, go this way. Keep going. We're leading you towards where you need to go. And it's funny, because had I not said yes to auditioning for Max Neptune, wow, I never would have been in Max Neptune. I never would have been in part of these stories that John Garside put out there. I mean, it's really fascinating when you can see how things line up and the way that they line up. For instance, Tommy Bowie, Thomas Gardner Jr. of Yachtly Crew. What got him into playing guitar in the first place was seeing a 311 concert. Well, years later, Tommy ends up moving out to Los Angeles. So, you know what? You might as well turn left here, and we'll take if you're able to, and we'll just take a different way around. Tommy Bowie ends up moving out to California, and little does he realize that one day he would end up playing basketball with Nick Hexum. Nick Hexum being the lead singer of 311. Yeah. So he's on the basketball team with 311. Little did he realize that his future self would be in a yacht rock band, and that his teammates would show Nick Hexum while they're playing basketball his yacht rock band. And the next hit, Nick Hexum would go, "Hey, Tommy, why don't you, you know, get a hold of my manager? Maybe Yachtly Crew can play on a 311 cruise." I mean, that's astounding when you look at the way that things evolve in that fashion.
Tommy helped make that happen.
Yes. Added to the fact, what's crazy is, oh yeah, turn right here. What's crazy too is my cousin Scott Madden used to work for Capricorn Records way back in the day, and we were some of the first people to hear about 311 and or even see their CDs, because 311, they signed 311 to Capricorn Records. So we were given like these CDs, you know, ahead of time. He did all the Midwest promotions for 311. He would open up, you know, he would introduce 311 and all this crazy stuff. So I knew about 311 long ago, and little did I realize that I would end up being in a yacht rock band that would end up playing on the 311 cruise. I mean, with Fishbone, when that was the other crazy thing, because my cousin Scott Madden's brother, Dan, loved Fishbone and would always put Fishbone on the compilations. So here was 311 from the one brother, and then the cousins, you know, the one brother, 311, bam, the other brother, Fishbone. Oh, my God. And it all just came together. Oh, you can turn right here. And when you see these things evolve, and then little did I realize years later, and I was telling you, that I ended up substitute teaching for Angela Moore from Fishbone, his daughter. Right. And a fish, I mean, geez. Oh, wait, this is the street that we're supposed to turn left on. Oh, God. Okay, so sorry. I just realized what just happened. So if you can go back that way, sorry. Oh, my God. I'm a terrible, terrible navigator, especially when I'm podcasting. Yeah, this was the street. Oh, that's so funny. This is the street that I was trying to get us to by taking a side street, but I didn't realize this side street took us exactly where we needed to go. Now I know that side street's there, and that gets us even faster where we need to go. God. Okay.
That's crazy.
So keep going, and I'll let you know when to turn right. So it's amazing when you see how all of these things fit together, and then on 311 Cruise, I was able to tell Angelo Moore, "Angelo, I met you in person at your daughter's birthday. You invited me, remember? And I told you that I substitute taught for her." And oh, God. I mean, just nuts. Oh, yeah, turn right here. It's just so amazing when you look at that stuff and how it all falls into place. And, you know, us meeting on the subway. And how did I know that you ever had a kick-ass Mickey Dolan story? Or that you had a kick-ass Angelo Moore story? Yeah. Oh, my God, man. It's so funny because you never know what kind of interesting stories
and
you're going to hear from people.
The Blues Brothers, which
oh
is my
God.
Favorite,
and that's on your, is that your Twitter backdrop is Blues Brothers, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah. I did a Blues Brothers lip sync in high school.
Oh my God, that's great. Oh my God. Maybe that's what we could do one time. I'll dress up as we'll dress up as Jake and Elwood and we'll go to an open mic and just lip sync. Do cartwheels and dance like them. That would be fun.
Blues Brothers freak. Love
that. Oh, it's so good. They're the total superheroes, if you think about it. Oh, you left here. Because they got their magical Bluesmobile, which, you know, can fly, basically, and falls, you know, thousands of feet and lands perfectly
fine. And land on Nazis.
Yeah. They got their superhero costumes. They got their superhero powers. Oh, God, it's just so cool.
Where am I?
Oh, yeah, keep going. We're almost there. Stay on target. Oh, you're right here, right where the green man is standing. Craig, thank you so much for the ride. Thank you so much for the podcast. Look at this. When I go in there, I got two parts now that I can upload as one podcast.
Okay.
And then I got to go in later tonight, and I got to get the file from the computer. That's still in the computer cage. So I got to send that, and I'll have that up later.
I may call you later to teach me how to split these.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Or maybe I should stop.
You want to stop that? Yeah. Boop. And then, bam, and then wherever you want to name that.
It's Superhero, and you're listening to Inspirato Projecto.